Man, that was powerful. How many of you felt that? I have been thinking about Pastor Jamie Ward, by the way, in case you didn't know that. That's me. I've been thinking, some of you just looked up. I've been thinking all week about this and thinking about 1 John. We're hitting chapter 5 tonight and just about what it really means. And John, there's a lot of repetition. I said that last week because there is something. If you are a follower of Jesus, people are going to be able to figure that out. They're going to be able to see it in our lives. They're going to be able to hear it in our words, see it in our actions. They're going to know that. You can only fake this for so long. And a lot of people have tried it. I always love when you're at church, it always happens that there's a single guy or a single girl. And after a while, you start seeing that they're not sitting by themselves anymore. And there's a man or there's a woman that's with them. And it's always a crazy thing. Because I just really encourage people that I believe if you're a follower of Jesus, then you need to be all about Jesus. And that means if there's somebody in your life that's not all about Jesus in that kind of capacity, run. Run. And I tell everybody that anybody can fake you out for a year. But after that, it's kind of hard to fake somebody out after that. So you might get by for a year, but there are such incredible expectations of what it means to be a Christian. But let me say this. I really want you to hear this. And I've thought all day about how to say this in a clear way. There are incredible expectations that you don't, that listen to this and give me some grace here. You don't even have to strive for. You know why? You know why? Because if Jesus is in you, then he's going to come out in your words, in your actions. And John is laying the groundwork here. So somebody say, well, I'm trying real hard to be a Christian. You shouldn't have to try hard. Because all the good stuff of God, it naturally comes out. Now, I got a lot of junk that also wants to come out. And my battle is against that stuff, right? The Bible says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Because the devil wants to mess you up. I heard people say, I'm not sure what I think about the whole devil thing. Well, if you've read the Bible and you believe the Bible, there's a devil. And he has no good plan for your life. And I don't know about you, but in my life, one of the ways the devil's really tried to screw up my life is bringing people into my life. Can I get a witness? I love it. So it's real common to talk to somebody and like, hey, this is so-and-so we've been dating. And I always say, are they a follower of Jesus? I'm not sure. Run. If you don't know, run. You ought to know that. I tell everybody on the first date, you ought to just set the Bible between you. And people are like, well, that's not realistic. Let me tell you. That'll cut everything to the chase when they know what you're about and if your life is about Jesus. Because let me tell you, one of the quickest ways Satan really wants to stop everything that God wants in your life is by bringing situations and people to your life that are not singularly focused on Jesus Christ. Listen to me. You cannot go wrong being singularly focused on Jesus Christ. You can't go wrong with that. And so there are incredible expectations for being a follower of Jesus, but they should naturally be coming out. John says in chapter 5, 1 John, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Now remember, John's responding to some of the false teaching that was going on. That Jesus couldn't have been a man and all that kind of stuff. And some are saying he was just a man. And there's all this going on. And John says, everyone who believes. Now let me tell you, the Greek word for believes is a word of pisteo. And that word is really interchangeable with the word faith. And it's really better translated as faith. Everyone who has faith that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Because there are a lot of people who believe or say that they believe, but there's not a faith. Faith is what God puts in us that gives us the capacity to believe in Him. So it is by what? We've been saved through Okay, great. Some of you switch those around. I don't even think that's a huge deal. Everyone who has faith that Jesus is a Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves a father loves his child as well. So this is about Jesus. And our lives should be focused on the person of Jesus Christ. Now I want to tell you, everybody look up here. I know that it is easy to take our eyes off Jesus. I know that. I mean, trust me, I live in that, I know that, and especially like if you have adult ADD, you know, like I do, it's real easy to get distracted and to get unfocused. But what John is saying here is make no mistake about this, his faith boils down to one thing, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. And it's that question, what will you do with Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? He goes on to say, this is how we know that we love the children of God. Did you hear that? Because he went from talking about the child to loving the children of God. Because that's a common theme that John is addressing, that we're brothers and sisters. And we ought to love each other. I had to talk to my son. And Sam's 9 and Will's 7. And Sam's kind of my real rambunctious kid. And Will's kind of my soft, gentle kid, you know. And somebody was picking on Will. It was a friend that came to stay with Sam. And I got irate about it. And I said, Sam, what'd you say to your friend? So I wasn't sure what to say. I said, nobody picks on your brother. You got to do something about it. He goes, like, hit him? I was like, yeah, I mean, it's a last resort, but you know. This is your brother. And he's saying, we're brothers and sisters, and this is how we know that we love the children of God. By one, loving God. Have you heard that before? Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What did he say? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So the greatest command, you know, first commandment, thou shalt have no other God before thee. So this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This should strike us as a little bit odd. He's saying this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands to do what he says. Because if you do what God says to do, you're going to find yourself radically loving people. And you're going to find yourself being willing to give out of your need to meet the need of another brother or sister. And this is the community of faith. And God set it up to be so dynamic that people would hear about this community of faith and they would want to come. They would want to come and be a part of that community. Matter of fact, there's a thing, it's called church discipline. And the whole issue with church discipline is that when folks are blatantly in sin, they can't participate in community. Now, for most people today, that is not a big deal. I could care less about that. But you see, community is supposed to be that powerful that even the threat of not being involved in that community, that would serve as, man, Lord, help me to get my life right. It's supposed to be that kind of a community. And I know you may feel like this is what you've been hearing, you know, the last 6 or 7 weeks. But the only thing I can tell you about that is it's because it's important. It is important. How many people do you know that are hurting? How many people do you know who are struggling? I mean, right here in this room, there are people who are struggling in all kinds of different ways. But probably in this room tonight is somebody who's trying to figure out the meals for the rest of the week. I guarantee you, there's some folks like that here tonight. And that's their struggle tonight. You know what I wish? I wish we could know that. Don't you? Don't you wish you could know that? Don't you wish you could just knock on somebody's door and then bolt and there'd be a basket of food there? Wouldn't that be awesome? And it's hard because we don't always let our needs be known. That's why this community is so important. There are some incredible pictures of community here at our church that are just really inspiring. Groups of people who gather together and meet each other's needs. And I think that's what John is talking about. This is the kind of community he's talking about. You know, I'm thankful that my children get to be here. And they get to see some of this that goes on. And they get to experience, because they ask questions. Because, you know, this is my fourth church, and I think they've all recognized, at least especially the oldest three, have recognized that this church isn't like the other churches we were at. One reason is because they can wear their t-shirt and jeans to church. And that's real different. You know? The people they see, really different. It's different. And they see folks at this church that they didn't see at our other churches. And they ask these questions. What's different, Daddy? What's different about this? And I don't know what else to tell them except that it's the love of Jesus. That we can all come together with totally different backgrounds. I mean, you know, one of my buddies here tonight is also an Ohio State fan. And I don't know if you come on Sundays. I said, man, we took a beating Sunday. I mean, Florida didn't beat us near as bad as Pastor Steve does, you know. And we can all come together, though. We can come together from different backgrounds, different situations, different everything. And we can come together and lift up the name of Jesus. This is the kind of community that John is talking about. So this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. Did you hear that? I want you to hear this, because I think the picture that's been painted of Christianity in America today is just a bunch of people that are just really, man, it's so hard to be a Christian and all of that. And yet, the Bible says that His commands are not burdensome. You know one of the things that John's responding to here? Because the people of this day, the tax collectors, those who practice law, they were so ruthless to the common people. They were so ruthless to them, and what was required of them was burdensome, and it was difficult, and it was hard to pay back, and it was hard when you owed somebody, and it was very burdensome. And then Jesus comes along, and the weight of this civilization is on maybe I'll call them the lowest people in this civilization. The weight of all this is upon them. And here comes Jesus, because constantly they're being made to feel like they don't measure up. They're constantly being made to feel like they are lower than everybody else. And the rules don't apply to everybody, but they apply to them. And it was very burdensome. And then here comes this rabbi. Jesus comes along and He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what I love about that? Anybody know what a yoke is? I mean, as a kid growing up, I always wondered what was a fascination with eggs, you know. But a yoke is what would tie two oxen. Is that right? That's right. I think that's right. Two oxes. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? Everybody with me? Okay. Two large farm animals. And they would be yoked together. And it could be very difficult because you got to have them go to the same rate. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Do you know what's so incredible about that? Do you know why that would be such incredibly good news to these people? Because Jesus isn't saying, I'm sending you. Jesus is saying, I'm going with you. My yoke is easy. And that means this, I'm going to be with you. And my burden is light. It's not like all the rules of the Pharisees. It's not like all the rules of society. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And whatever I call you to do, I'll equip you and give you the power to do it. That's why if you're a Christian, it ought to be obvious. There ought to be fruit that's in your life. Somebody called me one time and on the phone and we were talking. They said, you know, I've got somebody, and a couple of weeks ago, they made a profession of faith, but they're just not in it. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to get involved in Bible study. They don't want to get baptized. You know, what do I do? And I said, well, can I tell you very lovingly what to do? And they said, yeah. I said, pray they get saved. Well, they made a commitment 2 weeks ago. I said, whatever commitment they made, they didn't have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Because when you have a relationship with Jesus, you want to do, there's a desire to do those things. Now, listen to me. That doesn't mean I follow through on all my desires. But there's a desire to please God. I want God to be pleased with my life. And so what John is writing here is so incredibly hopeful. This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. Did you hear that? For everyone born of God overcomes the world. That means there is nothing that the ruler of this world can throw out that you cannot handle, that you cannot get through. And I'll tell you why that's such incredible good news. Because we have to go through some tough things. Every week as a staff here, we get a call. That we have to get to the hospital. We've got to get to somebody's house. Or somebody calls and crying, Pastor Jamie, hospice has been called in. We get those calls because life happens every day. And I'm going to tell you, this is a brutal world. It's brutal. And not just people, but man, we live in a sin-fallen world where stuff happens all the time. And yet he writes that everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. That we are going to make it. That we're going to be there. And imagine the people that are hearing this. The people that felt that there was no hope. And you know, that's probably maybe a lot of us here tonight. That we've been in a season like that. Some of you here tonight and you know you're not a follower of Jesus. Maybe you're checking it out or whatever. You just like to come to Hillview. Whatever reason, I want you to know Jesus is the only hope for the world. It's it. And listen, if you... Especially when you get to a certain age, and I don't know what that age is because everybody's life is different, but you're really going to know that. And you're really going to cling to that. And you're going to grasp onto that because you're going to know it's truly all you have. But we have this promise that the victory is ours through Jesus Christ. And that is good news. And so no matter what comes my way, I'm going to make it. The victory is mine. Jesus has sealed the victory. I don't have to worry about it. I don't even have to hope in it. But I trust that Jesus has already claimed that victory in each of our lives. That's why I think this is such incredibly good news. And this is why I think we should be so compelled to share this with other people. Because this isn't just a brutal world for us. It's a brutal world for anybody born. Who's here, who's walking the planet. It is tough. And I think in America, we don't even have a clue how tough it is. You watch the news and you watch what's happening overseas. And sometimes, you know, tears will come to my eyes. And I wonder, Lord, where are you? What are you doing? God, do you see what's happening over here? Where are you, Lord? And all these things. They remind us that we're not home yet. I mean, if all those things were exempt from here, then I guess we'd call this heaven. But this isn't the end. This isn't the end. For those who are followers of Jesus, this is a prelude to a better life that's coming. It's the best life that you could have in Jesus Christ. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. It's the only hope that we have. I want to encourage you tonight. And I want to finish with where I began. That when you are a follower of Jesus, those things should naturally come out. Not that I'm obedient every time, because I'm not. And not that I'm doing it perfect every time, because I'm not. But I have a desire to. And so literally, sin in my life breaks my heart because I know it's not pleasing to God. And I want God to be pleased with my life. I mean, do you hear that? And that desire is there. And you can't have that desire unless you have a relationship with Jesus. And some of you have to ask yourselves tonight, I don't have that desire. I just do what I want. And it really doesn't bother me. I want to encourage you tonight. I want us to examine our hearts tonight because there are incredible expectations for being a follower of Jesus, but he empowers us to meet those expectations through his strength, not ours. Through his strength and not ours. I want to, believe it or not, I'm getting ready to close because I really want us to have some time at the altar tonight. So I'm going to ask Keith if you go ahead and come. I want to close and just share this story. In James 1:27, it says this. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. To look after orphans and widows in their distress. We started praying some time back, Pastor Steve and I, and God just kind of gave us a burden and a heart for young boys in our church who, through whatever circumstance, really have no relationship with their fathers. So Pastor Steve and I were praying, you know, what can we do? Because I'm going to tell you, Did you just hear what we were told in the Bible? How important that is. And so we started praying about these boys. And so Pastor Steve and I, we just knew God wants Hillview to be a church for the fatherless. A church for the motherless. A church for those with no family. That's the kind of church that God wants us to be. And so just on a trial run, Pastor Steve and I, we just put out the word. And several folks got back to us and said, you know, I've got a son, or I've got some boys, and that's their situation. So Pastor Steve and I took about 9 boys to see the Harlem Globetrotters at Diddle Arena. And it was so fun. And at the very end of the game, Pastor Steve got every boy a basketball. And at the end of the game, the announcer says, if you'd like an autograph, come to the court. Bam! Those boys were gone. Gone. We heard that one was a wanderer. So I'm on the other side on the bleachers, and Pastor Steve's on the other side, and, you know, at the end of the night, and we got back, and Pastor Steve and I talked a few days later and said, you know, that's the kind of church we should be. That's the kind of church we should be. It made me think of this story. One Sunday, there was a young lady, and she was in a wheelchair, and I don't know what her issues were, but she was basically non-responsive in her wheelchair. And you could tell that she definitely had major problems. And there was a lady with her, and I got to talk to that lady, and I asked this lady, is this your daughter, your sister? She says, no, I work she told me the place that she worked at, and we just kind of care for folks in this shape, and I just bring her to church with me. And I thought that was really cool. Well, later on in worship, I was standing in the back, and I saw her leaning over. It looked like she was saying something to her. And I watched her, and she was leaning over for a long time. And I thought maybe something was wrong. And so I went up to just see if everything was okay. And before I got to her, I could hear her singing. And she was singing. She was singing to this little girl. And I don't even know if the girl could hear. And she was just singing, and I don't remember what the song was, but it was about basically that God loves you and He cares for you and you're in His hands. And I just stood behind her listening, crying my eyes out, because, you know, I thought that's what a mother would do. And I thought that's what a sister would do. But I didn't expect a worker from some company who that's what they do. I didn't expect her to do that. And I thought, you know what? That honors God. That honors God. And she was singing to her. And I wondered what the girl was thinking as I might look on her and maybe feel sorry for her. I don't know what she was thinking, but the word she was hearing is that God loves you and God cares for you and His arms are around you and He has a plan for your life. And I thought, that's the kind of church I want us to be. And that's the kind of community that I want us to have. And I want us to love people like that. And I want us to care for people. And even sometimes when it's hard to care for people, and hard to love people, that's what God wants us to do. And that's how He wants us to care. And that's the kind of community that He wants us to be. And I don't think I'll ever forget it. And it was probably just a few days later that I was sitting on the couch and Molly was laying in my arms and she fell asleep. And I thought of that and I just started singing to her and telling her that, Molly, God loves you. And you're in His hands. And He cares for you. And you know what I thought about that woman? I don't know what my life's going to be like. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know if I'm going to get to raise my kids. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. But you know what I pray? I pray if something happens to me and my wife, that one day somebody else would hold my kids and they would sing to them that God loves you. And He cares for you. And they would love those kids. Maybe like me and their mother would love them, because that's the kind of community that we should be. And when you follow Jesus, that's the kind of love that you have. And that we get involved in people's lives and we care for them. Oh, church. Oh, what God wants to do. And the lives He wants to change. And I'll be excited for every kid who would grow up and they'd say, tell us about your father. And they'd say, I had 20. And they'd say, and Steve Ayers was one of them, you know. And for every girl who'd say, I had 20 mothers, That's the kind of community that we should be. That's the kind of love that we should have. That we would spend worship hunched over, whispering into somebody's ear, God loves you. God loves you. And it would make sense to them that God loved them. You know why? Because you loved them in a way that God would. Lord Jesus, we come to you. And Lord, the first thing I'm compelled to pray is forgive me. Because I don't know that I've demonstrated that love out of my life into other people's. I pray you'd forgive us as a church, God, if we have failed in that. And I pray, God, you would fill our hearts with that love that comes from you that would make us want to love people like that and put our arms around people. So God, help us tonight. Help us to love that way. And I pray if somebody here doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, Lord, I pray tonight that they would believe that you are the Christ, that they would have faith that you are the Christ, you're the Son of God, and that you alone are the hope of their lives. I pray they'd invite you to come into their lives tonight. So as we have a time of altar, Lord, I pray our hearts would be broken. And I pray that not only our hearts be broken, but I pray even right now, you put the faces of those people in our minds that you want us to love like that. And Lord, I pray this, and I pray that this is a prayer we pray together. Because all over Bowling Green and Warren County are people who are not being loved. And God, you know what we pray tonight? Send them. Let us love them. Let us love them so that they can know your love, real love and true love. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand together. You know, I'm just ask you to bow your heads. Keith's just going to sing. They're going to sing. And this altar's open, though. Don't wait. Just come right now. Let's pray that we'd be that kind of community. We'd be that kind, those kind of people. So you come.